Close enough, right?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, man. Are you recording things?
I'm recording.
There's a hair on your microphone. All your dog's hair is all over my microphone.
Well, at least it's not coronavirus hair.
It's fine. I'm cool with it.
We're at Hanami.
Yeah, you came to a racetrack, Abe.
Feels weird.
I know. This is the first time you left your house in like a year, it seems like. You like went to work five times and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I've been working. Just been working at my house.
You're on paternity leave right now.
Correct. I have 1 week left.
1 week left. How old's the baby now?
3 weeks.
Nice. Keeping you up?
No. Ashley like wakes her up to feed at night, but she's not been waking us up.
Okay. How much sleep are you getting?
I've been sleeping through the night, man.
Yeah? Man, that sounds great. You got a good baby so far.
Well, yeah, I guess we're lucky.
Sleeping through the night with a newborn. That's hard to believe. So.
Ashley wakes up at like about every 3 or 4 hours to feed her. But beyond that, she's
good.
Been
sleeper,
good.
Huh? Good. So there's an Abe baby. Abe finally left the house. We're having a meet. The theme for the show, or the intro for Gingerman Raceway. Every time we talk about Gingerman Raceway on the show now, we have to talk about world renowned Derek Yarbrough's favorite track, Gingerman Raceway.
Is that right? Is the track world renowned, or is Derek world renowned?
Well, we could just say Derek's favorite racetrack, Gingerman Raceway. But Derek loves Gingerman. We all know that, right? Brad knows that. Yeah, it's Derek's favorite track. So.
Well, I mean, what's not to like?
It's the best place on earth, man.
So you know, Tom has said, though, that
It sucks.
He may have said that.
Tom Corman.
Tom also said that a car goes around Gingerman as fast as a car goes. And, like, there's not much that the driver does to make it go faster or slower.
I think there's... I've always said it's easy to find the first 95%, and that last 5% is like men versus boys kind of. It's hard to find. But you can go real fast here with like a medium skill set. Yeah. So I do love this place, though. It's my favorite place to host events at. People are already leaving. People blowing up. But, so far, so good. First half, we're at lunch break on Saturday. So first half of the day. You're only staying today, right?
That's right. I'll probably leave about 7 or 8 tonight.
Okay. How far is the drive? 4 hours?
3 hours?
Well, you drive fast. That's right. You got the Mugen SI, the fastest car on earth.
I'm not the only Mugen here today.
Oh, really?
My buddy from Indianapolis is also here.
Oh, cool.
We talked about Mugens for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you got to find your blue brethren. Are all the Mugens blue?
They are.
Okay.
And so if you see a red one, it's a fake one.
Okay. Fakers. I thought there were red Mugen SIs. Brad, there weren't any?
No, just that blue.
Just that blue. Okay. All right, well, I don't even know what to talk about aside from we're leaning on my race car because Abe forgot to bring batteries, and so we plugged it into the race car. Now my race car probably won't start because I still haven't swapped the anti-gravity battery in that I got because I have to build a whole new mount.
Shout out to anti-gravity batteries.
Yeah, good little company.
Look for those on the TrackTune website someday.
Whenever Abe remembers how to work TrackTune.com. So what have you been doing in Time Attack world, Abe?
I've been working the events remotely.
I know.
So, like, everything that I do at the track, I actually do more efficiently when I'm not at the track.
Yeah, but then I got to deal with all the fallout when somebody's mad at you.
And
they get mad at me
we
instead.
We could probably do an entire episode about tires.
Yeah, they get mad at me instead, so. Man. Scott Hollingsworth over here making all kinds of noise.
A prime instigator.
Yeah.
Is just rolled up on a pit bike.
Yeah? Is he one of the street mod instigators?
Oh, he's an instigator, absolutely. Yeah.
So hopefully those Nankangs become legal tires within the wording of the rules. But
so I've often deferred to your having had more of the information than I did. Can you tell me someone reached out to you before the Gingerman event?
Yeah. So one of the distributors in Nankang hit me up. I didn't even know this CR1 was coming or whatever. And said, hey, we brought in the first shipment of these tires. They're not pre-production. Is that legal? There's just not any other tires because production stopped right now because of coronavirus. And they are you can buy them, but you have to air freight them. So they're like open for purchase. So I was like, I mean, per the wording of the rules, that seems legal to me because you can buy them. And then everybody's like, man, but that sucks. And I understand that it sucks. But like right now we are in a pandemic, too. So factories weren't working for a while. And supply chains were messed up. But if you can buy that tire, even with air freight, you can buy that tire. I don't know. It's to me, I feel like I was breaking more of a rule disqualifying that CR1 than allowing it. Like I feel like I'm stretching the intentions of the rules a lot more, telling someone it's not legal.
And what I struggled to communicate to people was just because the tire is backordered, doesn't mean that it's not available.
Right.
Like the tire has been released.
Yes.
It's for sale.
Right.
Just because you don't see a whole bunch of marketing material on the internet about it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Supposedly there's four distributors, and they're known tire distributors. Phil's Tire Service is one of them, and like they will have it. Just none of the shipments have left. Where do they come from? Taiwan?
Taiwan.
I think they're Taiwan.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, Tiregate was fun. I think it's still ongoing.
No, it's ongoing. But people are salty about
it. We did get. It's not the fastest tire in the world. We've seen that. It hasn't won anything yet. But
that's true.
But we did get an email from Shane at Nankang during the event, stating the sizes that would be available. Do we publish that email or no?
We haven't yet, okay. But I think we probably should.
So there are sizes that will be. Well, we don't have to publish it, but we can just like make it available if somebody wants to see it. But there's a bunch of sizes available, and that it'll be available through TF Works, R Compound USA, Phil's Tire Service, and I think G Speed. Lewis Gigliotti, I think it was
right.
G Speed,
and then probably Jackie's.
Well, Jackie's
shop?
Basically selling through R Compound or TF. I forget. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's got it listed on his site that he can sell it to you because he's the one that can air freight it right now because he'll go through the back leg work to make it air freightable. But
right, so they're insanely expensive.
Yep, to air freight, yeah,
almost to the point where you think that the price is made up so that people won't buy them.
Well, they won't be that expensive later, but right now that's what they cost.
Yeah.
So
I imagine shipping a tire on an airplane is expensive.
So. Yeah. Hey, Dewey's here.
Stand over there.
Yeah. Go stand away from Babrin.
Yeah, stand away from me.
You want to talk about Tiregate, Dewey?
Of course I want to talk.
Oh, man. All right. You got 5 minutes. State your case.
I actually called to see if I could make an order.
Right.
And they allowed me to make an order.
Okay.
It's settled.
All right, cool. Dewey did it. Dewey.
Anybody who wants to argue it can go through me now.
Okay. Interesting. You want to say that on the show? Because you're far away. Dewey, you tried to buy a Nankang CR1?
You know, I might actually try some now. I'm not going to lie.
They are available in 255. They're coming.
Yeah, I already looked. 255, 4017, which is my preferred size. Oh, yeah, I think I might try a set just because it seems like they're going to be a fairly reasonable price, too.
It also seems like it, looking at Jackie's tires, like basically he's writing on the walls of the tires how many laps and how many times, and like he's setting fast laps when there's a bunch of heat cycles on them, too.
So. Which is nice because all-wheel drive cars like to destroy tires. Yeah. I just annihilate tires. I'm out here in my BRZ, and I go to check tire temps expecting my fronts to be like way higher than my rear. I'm like, this is balanced and lovely and nothing happened.
The world isn't ending because you brought a car that's not the boogeyman.
Yeah,
so
it's
you,
so nice. Yeah. I love this car.
How are you enjoying Honda Mood so far?
This is great. It's so chill to the point where I'm worried about it ruining Time Attack for me because like I'm not stressed. I'm sitting here. I'm sitting there worried about not working on the car. Like, I have to be doing something. Right. Something's wrong. I'm at the track. I should be fixing something. Yeah. So I made a sway bar adjustment just to feel better.
It's weird when you go to the track and you're like, this is actually supposed to be fun, isn't it? Like, I'm not supposed to be stressed, but yeah, I know the feeling. Well, good. I'm glad you inquired about the Nankangs. To me, it's like, well, if they eventually do show up, then it's definitely legal.
The second, my whole thing was, if I couldn't place an order for them, It shouldn't be legal. But
but the naysayers would say that even though they're available on Jackie's website, that doesn't count because somehow he's not a large enough business for it to count. And I think that argument is wrong.
I don't believe that argument is wrong because, again, good luck finding PhD. He is not a major distributor.
No.
Major is in the word. He didn't even have a sign.
He's actually selling through somebody else, but
Either way, I called Arcom. Arcom's fairly large. Yeah. I mean, I looked into them to see the size of them because I was wondering myself. I called Arcom. Arcom said yes, you can place an order. Told me how much it would be, shipping and everything. Told me the exact price of what it would be for the size I wanted to get, which wasn't available yet. Therefore, that I can pre-order it, to me, that's good enough. That means it exists. If they would have said, we don't have pricing or something for it yet, I can't take an order, I don't know when it's coming, okay, that's shady. But this wasn't. So this is available enough. Jackie happens to be the first one to have them. That's great.
That's because he brought pallets and paid tons of money to air freight them. But
that's great.
Yeah. I guess they're going to be available through Phil's Tire Service as well, G-Speed, and TFWorks. That's what Nankang emailed us or sent me an email Sunday of the event. So those will be the four distributors,
the only ones
I guess.
That were listed was Arcomp that I could find, though, and they were more than happy to give me any info that they had on them. It was very new to them, too, but they had pricing and everything, told me how much it was going to cost to show up. I'm not trying to, like, you know, I don't want this to be a massive promotion for Arcomp, because I got to be real, I'm not ordering through them. I'd probably order through TFWorks, but I just wanted to make sure, like, it existed for a competitor to be able to order them, and it did.
It seems like Arcomp on USA basically just brings in, I think TF does the same way, they bring in a sea container tires, they sell the tires, and then they make another order. Like, yeah, they're just a small distributor, you know. I don't even think they have a website, but they just sell to, like, all the Southern California track guys. Like,
yep.
Tons and tons of track guys go there. So
you're super friendly on the phone.
So more than anything, we'll probably need some language in our glossary and in our rule book to say what constitutes major.
That'll be defined. We have to find that. I think we'll define that before Mid-Ohio in the technical glossary. Mm. We couldn't do it during the event because of the rules we set up before we started the technical glossary. Like, we don't allow ourselves to make changes during an event for obvious reasons. But anyway, well, cool. We appreciate your opinion on Tiregate.
Yeah. Now I got a new thing to play with at SEMA. I'm going to go talk to Southeast Asia Sketchy Tire and ask them to take their 60 treadwear tire and slap a 200 treadwear sticker on. We're going to call it a day.
Is that actually a tire company, Southeast Asia Sketchy Tire?
It's short for something. I don't know.
That's cool. All right. Well, I hope you have fun on Hanami, buddy.
Adam and I were talking about doing, like, durometer testing.
I had a durometer at Autobahn. So. No, the pit cart's not here. So.
Well, I think the tricky part with that, though, is the tire wears.
Right.
You're going to get different readings, and if the temperature at the track is different at one track versus the other, it's going to be complicated.
And if one car's in the sun versus one car's under a canopy, like, the durometer's going to be different. You really need to, like, it needs to be stable, room temperature, tire has been in there for hours kind of thing. But I was going to go around at Mid-Ohio in the morning, first thing, and just for my own interest, really, and check durometer ratings on all the 200 stuff, but make
great.
Notes of it.
I don't know this, but it'd be great if someplace like Tire Rack just collected that data.
They might. I don't know. We have to ask Mr. Brad.
Brad probably knows.
Brad's here. He just blew up an Evo for one of his beginners. That was fun.
Well, it's an Evo.
Yeah, it's a wild rallycross Evo, and so we had to clean up the front straight. I pulled off to have Becky, Scott Robertson, and Becky are here, and Becky always does tire temp testing, and so I pulled off quick, and then all of a sudden they went red flag, so I watched it happen, and the Evo, like, rolls up on fire right in front of turn one. So, it blew up spectacularly. A photographer showed me a video of it, and the fireball, he comes out of 11 onto the straightaway, and the fireball, like, wraps around the front of the car.
Who's that?
It was Brad. Brad from Tire Rack. Ryan Finch.
No, who took the picture?
Oh, Ethan. Yeah, I think it was Ethan that showed me the picture. Somebody stuck it in my window. I'm pretty sure it was Ethan. Ethan Layton. I think it's Ethan Layton, right? He's one of the winning formula buddies. He came from Fort Wayne area, I think. Lafayette? I don't know. Yeah, I think he's the one who showed me the video. It like licked all around the car. Big old mess. Like,
I know the guy
everywhere.
You're talking about. I talked to him earlier.
Yeah.
He's wearing a Type R shirt.
I think so. He was wearing a winning formula shirt yesterday. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, but yeah, one big old cleanup so far. That was fun. We got 20 minutes behind schedule, but whatever. So I think I got to do my first hot pole today. No, my second hot pole, I think.
It's only your second time on a hot racetrack?
I can neither confirm nor deny anything about me being on hot racetracks ever, Abe. Come on. Can't tell that story.
You know, some stories just can't be told.
You can't tell that story. I'll tell that story if you find me in person. It was a weird one. That was a weird story. Yeah, I don't want to tell that story on Slip Angle, but I will tell it in person. So, I didn't do a naughty thing, but I also did a naughty thing at the same time. It was a very weird day.
I don't know. Sometimes those racing situations, they just...
It was a weird one, man. Cheeto's on the fingers of the safety guys, and they weren't going anywhere. It wasn't a Gingerman. It definitely wasn't a Gingerman.
Well, that's because we have rescue guys, and they're good.
Yeah, they are pretty good. And they're so happy and nice. I like those guys. And Jackie's here, too, with Rescue Girl.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She works with them at the big events, so... She's fun. I like Jackie. She always makes everybody take a selfie before the day.
Oh yeah, well, you gotta keep memories.
Just happy people.
We're a couple more weeks out from
Mid-Ohio.
Ohio.
Two or three.
I have to finish those trophies.
Oh yeah, what wood species are they gonna be?
They're walnut.
Okay.
This time.
Cool. How have you enjoyed making trophies?
We're getting better at it. Okay. It's becoming less of a job.
Okay.
Like the first time, it was hard.
That's a
because
job.
It was
yeah.
like a million things to do. But like getting the right tools to do everything in an easy way.
Okay.
Clutch.
They look good. I like
and,
them.
I'm going to buy a Milwaukee, job site circular saw.
Okay.
Stoked on the battery powered one.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. My friend who makes them
he's got the
is
laser
helping
engraver.
With the trophies.
Yeah.
He has a 10-inch saw and he wants the 12-inch. And I was like, I'll buy the 10-inch.
Okay.
So pretty excited.
It's a you said circular saw? Do you mean a
miter saw?
Miter saw, miter box. I've never had a cordless miter box. I kind of want one of those.
It has like a substantial battery. Like I did the entire like two events worth of trophies with chop cuts.
Okay,
and then he has also he's a Milwaukee nut. But he has the palm router that's battery powered.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's awesome.
To do the edges and stuff with it. Man, it's kind of rad.
I don't think people appreciate, like, maybe it's ridiculous to spend this kind of money, but some of the woods for the trophies this year they're expensive to a person who like doesn't know anything about what wood can cost, they're not like crazy.
I didn't know you told me about wood that cost a lot of money. I had no idea there was wood that was that expensive and also accessible.
Yeah. So the trophies for Pike's Peak are going to be really, really cool.
Okay.
They're like bright orangish red, or like almost like University of Texas at Austin kind of burnt orange.
Mm-hmm.
But they're almost iridescent. It's the craziest wood I've ever seen.
What's the wood called?
Jatoba.
Oh, I've heard of Jatoba. Hey, Brad, you want to talk about your new race car build?
Sure.
Brad Adams is here. We have to have somebody to talk to us about something besides Tiregate. Brad Adams has a 92, 95, what is that thing? 94 Civic. Me and Kyle Cage did a bunch of years ago, raced a bunch of Honda Challenge. Now you put a 1.8 in, and you're going to do some GLTC junk. How'd the build go?
You
want
to talk?
Sure, I'll talk. Build went kind of slow because of the COVID deal, so I expected to be out earlier. But
I love Brad's accent so much.
Got it's the Luke McGrew accent. We kiss. Got an accent together.
It's the Southern Indianapolis accent because the people on the north side don't have that.
Well, I think I got a deviated septum. I think that's why I sound like a hill jack.
That must be what it is.
It's got to be. I don't know what it is. But no. So yeah, I got the 1.8 in there. Just did the dyno Thursday. Hoosiers on there. Nines front. 8.5 rear.
Man, those big boys.
And, man, I don't know. I don't remember what torque feels like, but, man, I found out when I came out of that blend line today. So
you used to have a B16 in it, right?
Yeah, I had a B16 for many years. Did go 1.8 one year. That lasted a weekend and a half. Went back to 1.6. So, you know, Honda Challenge, I was only a 165 power. So now we're having issues on the dyno, so I don't really know what my torque was. I made 182 on my last pass, but 184 three passes prior. No changes to the tune. So,
how close are you to your race weight, power to weight?
I don't know currently what the car weighs just because I don't have my own scales. But I would guess that the car is close to 2330-ish, I would guess. I do have some ballast in it, not including me and my tacos.
Love tacos.
So I got taco socks
on
right now.
I didn't get COVID. I accumulated the COVID-19, which is something like the freshman 15.
So yeah, took it out for that session.
What you got there?
And well, I ran 2.5 laps. Check engine light came on. I think the distributor is going poo. And I'm good, thank you. And so here I am.
Adam, you and I.
Thanks, Dan.
Stoked.
Dan DeVries over here supplying lunch.
to right now.
Fredo's here.
Hey, Fredo.
Hi, yes.
Man, these are great, Dan.
So you got
has Dan ever made you anything that's not good?
I'm eating a Dan DeVries burger, man. Delicious.
So good. So Dan, when Dan shows up at the track, Dan just like makes food for all the staff, and it's the best.
Track dad status.
Did you talk about what the engine made or no?
Well, we're getting to that. So yeah. Oh, so that's what Abram was asking before Dan pulled up. So yeah, I expected to make one. I wanted to make like 190 to 193, mm-hmm. and I was going to go no aero, but now I'm making less power than I expected. So I think I'm going to throw the aero back on and call it even for Mid Ohio. So
you still don't know what it weighs, though. You said, right?
Yeah, I'm going to guess 2330 roughly. But yeah, I don't have any idea.
Well, wait. Why would you put the aero back on? Right? Because I guess there's.
Well, if I claim the weight that I'm at now, I would technically have to run 205s. So throw the aero on, I'm back over 2250. I mean, obviously I could claim more weight, right?
But if you are that weight, you can just be underpowered if you want.
Yep, correct. Yeah, I could be over spec, blah, blah. But if I have modifier points, then might as well use them.
Yeah.
And it's not going to have to go buy the stuff over I got it sitting at home.
Abe doesn't know anything about GLTC.
That's untrue.
It's like, I've never heard of that. Is that what you guys do out there? Technically, he is the competition director for all competitions.
That's right.
Is true. But more often than not, I defer to our race director, which is Renee, because unlike me, Renee can like throw down a penalty to anyone for anything. And no one is mad ever, because that's just what Renee said. Like, you can't disagree because she said so.
Because Renee is rad, correct?
Exactly.
Bad woman right there, man. Bad lady. I love that girl.
How did the car run today? You did a few laps. Did you talk about that already?
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah? And what you got to do?
I think I need to put a new distributor in it, so that, and I got to go get a new van tire put on. Pretty good day so far. I mean, chilling with the boys, that's always good. Nice and sunny out, working on that farmer's tan, always good. But having a car that throws a check engine light where you got to limp that thing in, and a truck with a poopy tire, that ain't good.
This is a hard hobby.
Why is this hobby so hard, Brad? Would you keep doing this hobby for the rest of your life, being as it's super hard? I don't know if I want to do it forever.
Well, you told me a long time ago that racing's hard. Racing's definitely hard. But at the same token, it's where you get to see your friends, hang out. It's your release.
Can you imagine how much worse this would be if we weren't friends with everyone here?
I know.
Yeah, I guess I could just chill on iRacing with DJ all the time. I mean, that is way more cost effective. But you don't really get the crap scared out of you on iRacing. So here we are. So could I quit? I don't know. Maybe if the kids popped off on bikes. That'd be kind of sweet, but I'd still have to race a couple times a year.
I don't feel like I could ever hang it up. I feel like I've lost a lot of my competitive edge, though. Like, I don't really care anymore. I just like being here and messing around my car. And I loved being like in some traffic at Autobahn, but like the car was running super rich and stuff. But and super hot indicator temps. But I do like being out there. It's I wish I could get that edge back. I feel like maybe it'll come back eventually, but I don't know. I'm having a good time still.
So. Did you really not expect high IATs when you had a supercharged car and you're on the surface of the sun racing?
I just didn't expect it to be that high. It was really high. I think the sensor must be off. We're going to plug it in here in a minute. Scott Robertson just walked back up. So, I'm going to grab Scott. You guys want to keep talking or no?
I mean, yeah, we should probably keep talking.
All right, you guys talk for a minute. I'm going to grab Scott and see if we can pull some fuel out of my car.
You're just going to mess it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Probably. Here we go.
So you're coming to GLTC. Have you run any of the events prior?
Yeah, last year I ran Midwest in full H2 trim. Obviously qualifying there was in the wet.
Uh-huh.
So that helped me out a ton. So that kind of left me as a sitting duck. First race, it kind of rained all right before time to grid. So I'm like, well, I've driven this track on slicks in the wet before. I'm going to go out. I'm going to try it. Well, I went out on stickers.
Okay.
And, wow, I think that race I went from 6th to, like, 22nd.
No kidding.
I mean, I had nothing. And it was funny because Tom Lamb came over and he was like, hey, you had stickers on that car, didn't you? And I said, yeah, unfortunately. He goes, yeah, every time you go through 7, 8, and 9, he goes, every time that sticker would hit the pavement, your car would go sideways. He goes, I just watched it the whole time.
That's brutal.
So then, you know, by the end of the weekend, you know, I was finishing, I think, 12th to 15th-ish, I think. But obviously, you know, it wasn't anywhere near, you know, top prep. But, I mean, obviously, there's way more top prep cars now in class. So now it's...
Yeah, it seems K-Motors are just... With as cheap as they are, and swaps are kind of everywhere, it's hard to argue that that's like not the choice you should make.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem I had was I was already kind of, you know, ankle deep in this B build when, you know, Eric was, when I knew Eric was going that direction. You know, and obviously I put a lot of money into this thing. And then his first session that he ran at Putnam, he calls me and he's like, oh my God. And as soon as he called me, I was like, I just put my head down and closed my eyes, and I'm like, damn. So, but I mean, at that point, it was too late for me to turn around. You know what I mean? So with that, you know, I got the mini bore, so, you know, I've got a minus percent there. So, I mean, running the B, I mean, yeah, I don't make the torque that they make. Obviously, you know, might not be, say, top line prep, you know, as far as hitting the spots that you need to hit as far as power band, torque, all that stuff. But kind of like Adam said, not that my competitiveness has went away, but my need to keep putting money towards that car is decreasing as my kids get older and bikes get bought. So I think we have 3 kids and like 10 bikes between the kids.
Think you have 3 kids?
No, I have 3 kids. I think I have 10 bikes between the 3 kids.
So you guys are obviously really deep into the GLTC, and we've had tons of good feedback and lots of new drivers showing up. Aaron is kind of like crushing it right now in the winning formula car. Who's not coming to events that probably should? Like, where are the competitors nationally that like have cars that are solidly here?
Part of the problem.
Well, I guess I could say one person because the prep would be close. I'll go ahead and call him out because he's been to Grid Life events before. Kevin Bohm, where you at, bub?
Yeah,
Kevin Bohm's
pro racing right now. That's why.
But that's fine. But his old STU car, that would be close. That'd be one person.
Yeah, there's probably a bunch of STU cars that could like make minor changes, and they would also be able to put bigger wheels on, which is the thing that STU complains about. I think they're stuck on 8-inch wide wheels. But the other thing is like I don't want to just like take cars from other groups though. Like a lot of this has been like a progression of drivers that were with us too, yeah. Like right next door, K Miata, Scott and Becky. Scott did his first event with us. Beginner and then cage the car and then you know, it's or maybe cage it first, I don't remember, but a lot of the drivers in GLTC like started with Honda Meet, started with Grid Life Beginner or Intermediate, Grid Life Time Attack. I do want to just build club racing too. Like I don't want to just call people from other groups or find the people that are sick of this class or sick of that class or don't want to do multi-class racing anymore. Like I don't want to just straight steal people. I mean, I'll take them, but I do like the fact that we brought a lot of people in. We put, I think, 45 people through club school or through comp school. So that's a lot of new wheel to wheel in a year with one tiny series.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I won't mention names, but there was a driver that drove here what 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. Take that back. Autobahn. He drove at Autobahn, and did decent, but was like mid-pack to backpack in. Loved it. Loved every bit of it. Yeah. So this thing is that I think is neat is even like with me last year, like I said, you know, I came H2 prep car. Didn't expect to be towards the front. Obviously, like I said, the rain qualifying put me there. But after that, like the thing that was cool for me with Honda Challenge cars, your Honda Challenge cars all kind of make speed in the same areas. Right. So one race, I'm sitting here battling with a Miata. And obviously, I'm faster than him on the straights. but he's got me in the corners, and that was when we had this like crazy puddle at the inside of 11. So I couldn't get through 11 fast because I was skating to the outside wall, getting ready to die and total another car, right? So not to have total a car, but the other race, it was BMW, street tires, no aero, and this thing was the straight line monster. So here now, my racecraft switches again. So now I'm like trying to do different things, you know, where my defense the first race was this, but now I'm trying my offense different here or there. So I think that's what's neat is if like you race a spec class and you come to GLTC, it's like, oh, wow, this is a game changer.
The job's different, right?
Yeah, the job is way different. And that, like, you know, and that's the thing is like a lot of people tell me, like, you know, with the kids, they're like, hey, you guys should come with us to this amusement park. And I'm like, the heck with that. Like, I'm not riding any dang roller coasters. And they're like, well, I thought you were like an adrenaline junkie. I'm like, no. I'm like, I like racing because of the mind game. You know, it's like we're playing high-speed chess, and I'm a checkers guy. Yeah. And that's what I think's fun. So when you do have that where you have to find, like, this new way to race somebody and try to get by them, that's what I think's fun because you grow there, right?
Right.
If I just run, you know, I mean, nothing against Haunted Challenge. Obviously, I loved racing it. But if I race Haunted Challenge all the time, like, I know, like, okay, here, here, and here is what I can optimize myself on, right? But you get around these new people, you don't really know, like, okay, they do this, they do that. So you have to change that those gears. And to me, that's what makes it so fun, is because, you know, the spectrum of the class is so big that you have a multitude of different cars that you're going to race, and those cars all make speed differently.
Right.
And you have to adjust and, you know, mentally note, et cetera. So.
Yeah, I like that part, too. I enjoy racing at the back of the pack with my always unprepped, broken car. And
it does have
lap motor doors.
Wait, what was the Gears and Gasoline guys did a video about best track car to like start with.
Yeah.
And Adam does an interview and he's like, yeah, I mean, Hondas are awesome. They don't always have the most grown up crowd. And
the most adult scene, I said.
And then he like opens the Lambo
and everybody, like, there was a bunch of comments in that video. They're like, dude, did you see that guy? Says his Honda scene's not adult and he's got Lambo doors, WTF. And I'm like, yeah, that's the joke, bro. I've actually really enjoyed being at the back of the pack. And like, basically, I try to find Scott's beginners or like the new to GLTC rookies who are often like very experienced track drivers. But like, I try to find them and like do dumbish stuff, be like, creeping on their door into the braking zone just to see if they know I'm there. Give myself enough of an out, but, like, put it in their mirror and just try to, like, scare them in any way I can. Not scare them, but, like, just put pressure on them. And I had a ton of fun at Autobahn with that with two different drivers. And I just think it's fun, man. Like, it's fun being door-to-door with people. I don't really care if I win or anything. I'm probably not going to win anytime soon unless I dump, like, 10K into this thing, but... and then I'd still have me driving. So I got to remember how to do it, you know. But yeah, so far so good with that. I'm glad you got the car back together, and I hope we can do some driving this weekend. So hope the distributor doesn't totally crap out on you. You still recording there, Em?
So we're at 33 minutes.
Oh, you did a show almost.
We wanted to thank some people, or
We probably should. Patreon people.
Yeah.
Brad's gonna go probably eat lunch or something. He's going
to
go sit down and chill.
But there was,
thanks, Brad.
Every time we did a show, you were going to talk about something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Racing Radios has been a big help with the instructor program and GRID this year. I wanted to mention them. What else did I want to mention?
Something, I don't know.
Well, we appreciate Racing Radios. Racing Radios also, I did post something in the GLTC page that Racing Radios has set up a channel for us to talk to drivers, and we can give we put it on the page, but anybody listening, there is a radio frequency that if you can get radio programmed for it, then you can listen in for green flag calls, hazard calls, stuff like that. So that's cool. There was something else. I wanted to thank the Patreon subscribers. We really appreciate the ability to buy a board and hopefully do some travel to other things and record other shows someday.
The next thing we're going to get is probably a Pelican case for it.
Okay,
so that I can bring it.
So we can move it around. Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's a big object.
Yeah.
It's probably the size of two shoeboxes.
Yeah. What else do we want to talk about? I don't know.
We'll figure it out for the next show.
I'm blowing it. But yeah, live from Derek's favorite track.
Gingerman Raceway.
Yeah, that's right. So,
Yeah, I think we made a show. Good enough.
All right.
Yeah. See you, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a grid live to say hello.